Good morning. Welcome to New Life. Beautiful day out there, isn't it? Let's stand together. Let's worship our God in heaven.
Worthy. Of your people. So as we sung, as we recognize, you are here in this place. You always have been. You've always been at work. But God, we ask for those that need a touch from you. Would you touch? Come, Holy Spirit. Minister to our hearts as we minister to yours. We invite you, Lord, in this place to have your way. Oh, have your way. Oh, have your way with us, Lord. Because even when I don't see it working, even when I'm not feeling it working, you never stop working. Stop, never stop working. Even when I To continue with our worship, our act of worship, which is giving. So we invite you to come to give of your offering. You get to come up to the front to do that, or you can do it electronically. The offering today is for missionaries to support the hands and feet that are away from us. Let's give generously as an act of worship to the Lord. Let's invite you to do that now. Let's do that one again. Like, this is a cool song. It's this call and answer. So I can sing the opening line, you can too, but I would like you to sing "We Do." This kind of singing is actually modeled a lot in scripture as well. It's kind of a neat way of doing it. Let's act this out together. So from the beginning. Stop the lights from getting through. We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning? Yes. Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is.
Jesus on his eye.
Thank you, worship team, for leading us in that time of worship. Welcome to New Life Church. My name is Janet, and I am your host this morning. We have a special welcome to all guests, whether they're in person or online. We're glad that you're joining us. Our aim is to help you connect in this community. So if you're a guest, you're invited to fill in a connect card. If you're here in person, they're available in the seat in front of you. Or if you're online, the host will send you a link and you can fill that in. If you fill out a Connect card and you bring it to the information booth, you will receive this bag. Well, not this one, another one just like it, full of goodies, like a pen and a tumbler and a bag of New Life coffee. And talking about coffee, if you're not new here, or even if you are new here, we're selling it today. Honduran coffee is available in the foyer. There's some good deals on it, so please check that out. So we're getting into our full program now, and life groups are starting up again. So if you're not already part of a group, we'd love to get you connected. A life group is a smaller gathering of believers that meets throughout the week, or on, can be on a Sunday evening, can be during the week, wherever you, whatever time they plan, to study God's word together and to care for one another through prayer and hospitality. If you would like to get connected, please contact our new pastor, Pastor Sean. Also, if you have already expressed an interest to join and are still waiting, we ask for your patience. Your patience and understanding, as there have been so many changes during the summer, and we apologize for the delay in getting you plugged in. But don't worry, we'll get you connected with a life group very soon for the fall. Okay, so what's coming up? The Thanksgiving holiday is here in 2 weeks. On Thanksgiving Monday, that's October the 10th, we're hosting a Thanksgiving breakfast at 9 a.m. So bring your family and friends for a time of sharing about the work God is doing in our lives and hear a short devotional and, of course, have breakfast together. Maybe we'll have breakfast first. I'm hungry at 9 o'clock. Please take special note. The service starts at 9 and not our usual 10 o'clock time. So Women's Connections, that's our women's ministry, invites all women to a retreat in November under the theme Follow Me. The registration is now open for this wonderful retreat, and it's held Friday evening, November 25th to Sunday the 27th. The retreat is held at the relaxing Stillwood Camp and Conference Center up over above Coltis Lake. The weekend includes lodging, all meals and refreshments, and there are 3 presentation sessions over the 3 days. So if women of any age are welcome, contact Pastor Sam Postma for inquiries. And for those of you who are new here, Sam is a female, just in case you thought we had a man taking all these women away. To register, visit newlifecrc.ca/events. Okay, now the seniors ministry. We should be kicking off next week, which would be the first Sunday of October. But there are so many seniors who take off during September, and it sort of merges over into October, partly because there are no kids around, so, you know, the place. This will be the 3rd week of October, so if you think you're just about old enough, you can come too. And if you're really interested in planes, just let us know and come. Okay, so every week we have fellowship time, and that serves 2 purposes. You can meet someone, but also it gives parents a chance to take their children down to Kids Church and Little Lights. So if you go to Little Lights, you can go to the door on my right. And if you go to Kids Church, you go to the door on my left. I thought I'd change things up a bit this week. Okay, so now we're going to start our 3-minute fellowship time. And if you don't know what else to talk about, ask them maybe what their favorite breakfast food is, so that maybe it will influence something for the Thanksgiving breakfast. Anyway, thanks for having me up here. Have a great Sunday.
shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
With word, seems like an odd title for a series of messages to kick off a ministry year. To be undone sounds like the very opposite of what we're always trying to do. We're always trying to put everything together and package it all up and get everything tight and arranged and planned and worked out. And so we've been concentrating on what it means to be undone. In one respect, in the first week, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at being undone as our braid slowly unravels in terms of, is the world coming undone? Are things falling apart? And then we talked about how to deal with that. What happens when it feels like everything is falling apart? And we want to be able to concentrate on God's grace, on His favor for us. Last week, we took a look at being undone with respect to God's overwhelming love, that it undoes us. It unravels us. It overwhelms us so that we discover that we are nothing unless we are loved by God. This week, we want to take a look at, kind of the opposite. Sometimes we try to put things together and it ends up becoming foolishness. So what does it mean for us to undo our folly? Here's what I mean. The Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. Now, the Corinthian church was, quite frankly, a problematic church. It had all kinds of issues, problems, things that people were fighting for. They were fighting over communion, who was allowed to go, who was allowed to go first, and all of this kind of stuff. They had worship wars as fierce as what we've experienced in North America last couple decades. They had difficulties with what we talk about in terms of diverse community. They couldn't get it together. There was a constant divide between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, people who came in from the outside. Paul was trying to address all of these things. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says this with respect to all of the church's problems. What we preach, he said, is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. You gotta hear that again. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, that God made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory. I think we sensed a little bit of that God's glory as we sang together, gave God praise. God reveals the light, the knowledge of His glory displayed in the face of Christ. And then He adds this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. It's a reference to pottery, of course, which isn't completely unfamiliar. The Bible refers to God's people often as being a lump of clay that God is fashioning. And so Paul, quite likely as well, is using that Old Testament reference, perhaps taking it from Jeremiah 18, when God commands Jeremiah, the prophet, the great prophet of Israel, to preach to God's people, and to tell them how they are like a piece of pottery that God constantly is refashioning. And if they're a lump of clay, then God makes a clay pot out of them. But if He doesn't like the clay pot, or if it comes off kilter, or if it gets ruined or something, God smashes it down and rebuilds it and makes it again. And so in Jeremiah 18, we read, "Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, 'Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel.'" And so Paul takes that image, mulling around in his mind, and he's wrestling with how to manage this church in Corinth that's so messed up. Reminding them that Jesus is Lord and we are your servants of that great God who reveals his glory to us. But that treasure, Paul says, that treasure is in a jar of clay. The treasure is Jesus is Lord. The treasure is that we are servants of that God, a gracious God. The treasure is that God has restored us to himself. What a blessing, what a gift. God, the God of the universe, whom we've rebelled against, whom we said, "No, we probably don't really need you." That God has graciously restored us to himself so that when we discover that, wait a minute, I'm not in control. Wait a minute. When I can't manage things, wait a minute. When my life falls apart, God says, "I'm there for you." He's restored us to himself. That's the treasure. Similarly, Walter Brueggemann, in a sermon on this passage, also says this. He says, here's what the treasure is. The treasure is forgiveness. Forgiveness in order to start again in a society that never forgives and keeps score forever. The treasure, says, is generosity. Generosity that overwhelms our lack in a society based on scarcity and always is clamoring for more and more. The treasure is hospitality that welcomes us in a society that is inhospitable to all but our own kind, people we can identify with. The treasure is justice that protects the vulnerable in a social system that is deadly in its injustice. It's the treasure of the gospel, folks. For Paul, this same imagery from the prophets pertains to the church. God is the same potter. We have this clay pot of a church life. We like clay pots. We like them a certain way. We like how they're crafted. We like the handle going this particular way. We like the color exactly in this shade. We all like it in a certain way. We like our churches in a certain way. We like worship to be a certain way. We like our music to be exactly our style. We like the mission to be accomplished exactly the way we think it ought to be accomplished. We have this treasure in jars of clay. The jar of clay is everything outside of the treasure that Jesus is Lord over everything. Anything that contains that treasure. It's a jar, a mere jar. It's ourself, our body, our mind, our family, our church. It's a jar of clay. Our songs, a jar of clay holding the treasure. Our confessions, our systems of theology, our ministry programs, jars of clay holding the treasure. And yes, they're important, all of them. But they are jars of clay, easily broken, quickly cracked. Or as Paul says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God. And not from us. We don't generate it. We don't put it together. We don't make the treasure. We aren't the treasure. The gospel is the treasure that Paul is referring to. We're hard-pressed on every side, he says, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. That's a peculiar clay pot. That containing the treasure of the gospel, when we're bruised, when we're cracked, we're not broken. We're not crushed. We're not despairing. We're not abandoned. We're not destroyed. In other words, Paul doesn't give up on the clay pots. Inferior as they are, they're necessary, they're valued, important. We need clay pots. Of course, we need our bodies. We need our families. We need our church community to house the treasure of the gospel. And yet the splendor and the value of the treasure make it impossible to overinvest in those jars of clay. The treasure is incomparable. There's no comparison between what holds the treasure and the treasure itself. The glory of God shines so brightly. And yet we do overinvest in our jars of clay. When we make people, when we make ourselves, or when we make the organization of the church the treasure, then we're crushed. As soon as things start to disintegrate or fall apart or don't go our way, we're led to despair, to give up. Because people are going to fail. People are going to fall. People are going to wander because they're weak. Because containers of the gospel of Jesus Christ are jars of clay. They crack, they break, they fall. They're merely transitory. They pass away. They come and go. So when we confuse the treasure of the gospel, that Jesus is Lord, that he's the Savior of our life, that God restores us to himself, when we replace that treasure with people, with organizations of people that we invest in, we're going to wonder, what is so valuable? If we confuse what the treasure is with what holds the treasure, we're going to say, it comes and goes, big deal. Or we're going to hold so tightly on to that cracked pot that we'll be crushed when it falls apart. When we confuse the treasure of the gospel with people and with organizations of people, we'll wonder what's so valuable. Because what replaces the treasure then are the containers. Our political perspectives, or our ideological preferences, or simply our own self-interest, our own advantage is what becomes the treasure then. And we hold on to it so tightly. And then, because it's all about us, we cave to our anxiety and our foolish judgments. Indeed, then things do fall apart, and we lose sight of the treasure. When the clay pot is the treasure, then ultimately we fall into the trap of having to trust ourselves to reach for success, scrambling to put it all together. We need to become undone by God's love, by the treasure of the gospel. Otherwise, it becomes all about us. Otherwise, it becomes all about our own performance, our best behavior, how we look in front of everything else, what people, other people think. We're all about the failure in clay pots that leads us to give up on it, to despair, to leads to cynicism. That's what happens a lot in our churches. We treasure the church as an organization so much. We think we're so awesome that when things don't go our way, we just give up. We say, well, what's the use anyways? Because we've lost sight of the treasure. And then, when we are hard-pressed on every side, we're crushed. So one of the ways to undo that folly, our misplacement of the treasure, one of the ways to undo that is to recognize and admit that we are jars of clay. You and I individually, we're jars of clay. Us together. As a church, we're jars of clay. There's cracks in our jar. And maybe sometimes it's the wrong color or the color fades. Or maybe the handle just doesn't quite fit in the way that we have expected it to. To recognize our weakness, in other words, to recognize our own brokenness, to recognize our faith in ourselves, to recognize our own foolishness, to admit it. Say, yeah, we're not the ones to put it all together. To recognize the mess that we're in with such faith in ourselves, such trust in ourselves, especially when we have so many resources around us to think that we can put it all together. To realize that we're dead in ourselves. Then we can begin to undo our folly, our own foolishness, and come to depend on God's grace, on His favor, on His love and kindness to put us back together. Because then we're hard-pressed, but not crushed. Because we accept and realize, as Paul says, following all of this, it says in verse 10, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. The cracks that show up in our jars of clay. The brokenness. We always carry around in us the death of Jesus. So that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Crises in our lives, crises in our churches, those are opportunities to see ourselves as clay pots, so susceptible to cracking, but also in the process of being remolded, reshaped by God's love for us. There's always a lot of talk, seems more so now than ever before, but I suspect there's always been lots of talk about the church in crisis, the church failing, the church becoming irrelevant. And maybe instead of trying to prop it up again and again and to put it all together, we need to recognize the judgment of God upon faith in ourselves, to recognize our own disobedience, to recognize our own self-preoccupation, to recognize our extreme comfortableness, to recognize our privilege, how good we do have it. And then we need to grab a hold again of the tremendous treasure that we have in Jesus Christ and put to death our self-interest and treasure the Lordship of Jesus. As Paul says, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal body. Jars of clay. Folks, we're alive. We're alive. And it's not because of our ability to manage our lives and put them together and make them a success. We're alive. The church is alive. And it's not because of our clever organizational skills. The church is alive because the life of Jesus is revealed in us and through us. That's what makes us alive. That treasure. That's what I want us to rediscover in this new ministry year. I want us to rediscover it again for the first time, maybe. What it means to carry around in us the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus is revealed in and through us. That's treasure. That's the thing we've got to hold on to when everything seems like it's falling apart. That's valuable treasure. Guard that treasure. Care for that treasure. Focus on that treasure. That Jesus is Lord. We're his servants. The glory of God has been revealed. There isn't one person in this world who doesn't in some way long for the glory of God to be revealed. There isn't one person in this world. And we know the treasure. We have the treasure. There isn't one person not looking for it, and you can't live without it. That's why we're here. That's why we're moving ahead in this ministry year. To proclaim that treasure. To let people hear about it. To let people see it. To let people experience it. In the context of a jar of clay. Cracked, sometimes broken. Sometimes with no handle at all. Sometimes in the wrong color. Jar of clay. But we have this treasure. Whatever your life looks like, you carry the life of Jesus. And that is the most precious thing we have. Let's pray together. Almighty God, help us to hold on to that treasure. Help us to realize that treasure. God, forgive us when we've let it fade. Forgive us when we've forgotten about it. Forgive us when we've ignored it. Forgive us when we've allowed our own desires to take over. God, have mercy on us. Show us again your compassion and your love and your grace in our lives. God, as we enter into this new ministry season, the end of September, and we've begun our new routines, or the routines that we've entered into, God, and as mundane as they might be, excite us, Father, enthuse us with the treasure that we hold. And don't let anything else get in the way of that. And so renew us, Father. Refresh us. Convict us again, God, that you are the Lord, the Master, and the Savior of our lives. Renew us in that knowledge, in the commitments that we've made, God, in the promises we've made to serve you all our days. Fill us with your Spirit so that we can fulfill that promise because we depend entirely on you. God, it's in by your strength in the midst of our weakness. It's by your love in the midst of our ignorance. It's by your grace, God, in the midst of our judgmentalism, that we can recommit to you and grab hold of our calling that you've given to us and proclaim this treasure that Jesus is our life. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thing to stand in God's love. That's where you're standing right now. You're standing in God's grace. You're standing in the midst of the Holy Spirit. And that's what draws us together. So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you now, in this coming week, and always. Amen. Go in peace.